It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Well, this is a sad story. Barney Frank, the longtime Democratic congressman and leading liberal who brought new visibility to gay rights and crafted the most significant reforms to the financial system in a generation, died yesterday. He was 86. He died late Tuesday, according to Jim Segel, Frank's former campaign manager and close friend. After representing broad swaths of Boston suburbs in Congress for 32 years, Frank and his husband moved to Maine. He entered hospice there in April with congestive heart failure. He's best known as a pioneer for LGBT rights. After decades of grappling with his sexuality, he publicly came out as gay in 1987, the first member of Congress to do so voluntarily. With his 2012 marriage to Reedy, he became the first incumbent lawmaker on Capitol Hill to marry someone of the same sex. So Barney Frank, activist, he said, though, that he wanted to be remembered more for all the financial stuff that he did and not be solely identified for his personal life. Which makes sense.
And I understand that. But truly a political trailblazer, because he did do a lot of work with the economics and things. And he was just a great mind. He was a really great mind. I spent some time over the years and in college studying some of the career of Barney Frank. So, that was sad yesterday. I love, though, that it's also a tale of how politics can evolve, right?
Like, yes, that's
right?
True.
Yeah, because he's like that telltale story of that from the beginning all the way to being one of the first LGBTQ members of Congress to be open about it. So it's how politics evolves, and it played out in real life. So that's pretty cool.
And especially from Boston, you know, where you would think, that might be a little dangerous politically.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he was true to himself and went on to fight for all the things he fought for. So
yeah.
Barney Frank, like you said, a true trailblazer.
Yes.
Born at 86.
In other stuff you need to know, Brian, we're going to bring it closer to home, because it turns out that fluoride, speaking of our drinking water, is going to once again be added to DeForest water supply. That's after trustees voted 4-2 Tuesday to reintroduce that mineral as recommended by numerous dental and public health associations. Weird how the doctors and the science always get it right. The board's vote follows an April 7th election, which saw the ouster, a former trustee who previously voted against the fluoridization. The engineering firm estimates that it's going to cost about $327,000 for DeForest, though, to add fluoride to the water that's pumped through the four village wells. That estimate includes the cost of improvements recommended by state officials for the village's water infrastructure. Now, some of those costs, though, could be covered by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services through a grant. It could also be several months before water has fluoride in it once again and it's flowing through the DeForest pipes. Village officials have elected to pursue a phased approach. They expect that this is going to take between 4 to 6 months to bring fluoride to at least one of the wells. Some of the other wells will take a bit longer, and it could be as long as 14 months before fluoridated water, that's a word you don't say every day,
is
being pumped through all four of the wells. Now, in February of last year, DeForest trustees voted 4-3 to stop adding fluoride to the village's water. Since then, the village board has seen a series of shakeups. One anti-fluoride trustee was ousted in a September recall election. Another anti-fluoride board member resigned for personal reasons. That's a hill to die on, being an anti-fluoride
adventure, it was a
right?
bad. You were on the wrong side of history, my friend. It is. I remember it was a couple years ago when this whole thing started, and villages and towns across the state were saying, "We're getting rid of fluoride. You can't put these chemicals in our bodies. We don't need fluoride." And you mentioned it at the top of the story. Every dental group in America was like, no, this is a mistake. Doctors are like, no, this is a mistake. Well, what if we get too much fluoride? You're not getting too much fluoride. We don't believe you. We were on the internet, blah, blah. and these towns all decided they were going to stand up because it was woke to have fluoride, even though they all had their teeth partially because of that fluoride. It didn't matter. They were we're going to make a stand. And then all of a sudden, a couple years later, they realized, boy, this was a mistake. We should have listened.
It's like another branch of the anti-vax movement. What it is, right? I mean,
we are now all in the and find out stage.
Right. Right.
Of the equation.
But here's what I'm also going to say, because, you know, I couldn't go a block talking about this, especially all the people who have been ousted from that board. That's why local elections also matter, because, right? I mean, people were able to stand up, speak out, vote people out, and also hold a recall election and all of that as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that aspect of it, too. So local politics does matter.
And it's okay to do a little bit of research, but realize you also don't have a medical degree and you are not a dentist. You're
right.
Not the American Dental Association, and you're not a pediatric physician or dentist, and you don't know. And just because you read some clickbait article that says, is fluoride giving you three heads and a tumor? It's probably not true.
Right.
They wanted you to click on that story. So, you know, I guess good for DeForest at this point.
Yeah. Doing the right thing. Okay.
Yes.
I can't believe that this is where we're at when people actually do the right thing. Cities, communities, individuals. We have to be like, yay, you.
It's been all morning. Just, hey, you did your. It'd be like if every day. The boss is, the owner of the company came in and said, hey, good job. You stayed on the air for 3 hours. That's the baseline. That doesn't even take into account anything that we did for those 3 hours.
Right.
We just were here for the 3 hours of the show.
Parker, every day. Now, at the end of this show, we're going to make sure that we tell you good job for, keeping
good
us
job
on
for
the
wearing
air.
A shirt.
That's
Thank
right.
you for wearing a shirt to work. Thank you, Parker.
Well, thank you.
Wore
you.
A
it was
shirt
in my
to
contract.
Oh,
and
my
you
gosh.
Were awake. That's baseline. That's all we expect from you. Wear a shirt. No, we don't even ask pants anymore.
No.
Because I don't see you below the waist.
That's
so
true.
A shirt and stay awake. That's all.
That's right.
Still, your shirt is very
good
long.
Job,
it's almost
you.
Like a mini dress.
Good job. If you got yourself up and out of bed today and you made it to work, good job, you.
It was tough.
Oh, my gosh.
The whole world is a participation trophy.
It is.
Everybody gets one.
It is.
Just for showing up. It's time for the big story.
Yeah.
Guess what? There's more work on the ballroom. But it seems like cracks are forming in the foundation, pun intended, of Republican support for this ballroom. Senate Republican leaders are expected to abandon a proposal for $1 billion in security money for the White House complex and the president's ballroom today after members of their own party questioned the timing and the lack of detail in the Secret Service request.
Well, he's going to be pressured so by the, mad.
There's not a solid ketchup bottle in all of the White House.
Wow, he's going to be upset.
I can't wait to hear the names he's going to call people. He will threaten to primary everybody, even himself. He's going to be apoplectic.
Wow.
And I can't wait. I can't wait to see that orange head getting ready to explode and spittle flying out and his hair flowing
back. I have so many
back.
Questions about this, considering this is like an active construction site, but I'm going to let you get through the rest of this so we
well,
have all of the details.
Let's figure it out. Yeah, let's see if we can answer those questions. So Republicans have tried to add the money to a roughly $70 billion bill to restore funding to ICE and Border Patrol. But the security proposal met with backlash from some GOP lawmakers who were questioning the cost and how taxpayer dollars would be used. Hey, another participation. You're doing your job. Thank you. The bill's text has not yet been released. Yeah, because there is no plan. He just wants more money, and he's going to do it for security, quote unquote. Senate Majority Leader John Thune from South Dakota, Jamie's home state, acknowledged ongoing vote issues on Wednesday as leaders tried to measure Republican support as well as ongoing parliamentarian issues as they try to figure out what will be allowed in the bill under the chamber's rule. The president has already called for the parliamentarian to be fired, one, because she's a woman. He actually said they've had somebody who's a woman.
Yeah. You know,
and for a called her many names. He doesn't because she said
she couldn't make a decision.
Right. Well, because she's following.
She wouldn't understand this.
Women's are too emotional to make any kind of big. We're building things like men do. We don't need ladies saying things. Democrats have criticized Republicans for trying to fund the ballroom when voters are concerned about fake affordability issues. So it's good to see. But the main thing is, and think about Caesar. A lot of the senators are not happy with the way that he is primarying people, and especially that he went and backed Ken Paxton as in Texas against John Cornyn.
Mm-hmm.
Because John Cornyn, there are always consequences,
right,
Thune said, of taking on the United States Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So you overplayed, and I said this earlier in the show on something else, he's overplaying his hand,
mm-hmm,
and somebody's going to smack it.
I do find this to be fascinating because we're at this complete standstill with this ballroom. And the other day I was watching TV and the president was basically in the middle of a construction site while, mm-hmm, these workers were just milling around behind him because they can't actually work right now because everything's at a standstill. There's no
an injunction
funding
on it. You,
yeah, there's an injunction.
No,
there's no funding for this thing. So now a house that basically the American people own has been completely destroyed with no congressional oversight. There's a gaping hole in basically the ground next to the White House. So what he's basically done is demolish property that people of this country own with no backup.
He's a renter. He's a renter who is coming in and trying to put an addition on a house that he doesn't.
Here's the other thing. We've seen the blueprints for this thing. Let's say hypothetically that this thing eventually gets passed, right? Eventually, mm-hmm, we find the funding, whatever.
Why?
It might be, taxpayer. Okay, hypothetically.
Okay.
His presumably only has a couple of years left in office.
Well,
how long is this thing going to take to actually build? Because I don't see this being quick unless it's going to not be well constructed. Like,
well,
I have
Jamie,
so many
when you're
questions.
In your, when you're in your forever house, you don't worry about how long it's going to take.
Oh, my gosh.
And I firmly believe. Listen, he's Mar-a-Lago'd the whole place. He's not planning on leaving.
Yeah.
If the midterms go his way, he's staying forever. You know, and unless Republicans get a spine and decide to be a co-equal branch of government.
They're starting. I actually, at
slowly
this,
but surely.
At this stage of the game, I would actually have a little bit more faith in Senate Republicans. It's minor.
It's the House.
It's the House that's the biggest problem.
The House is the issue.
Yeah.
Because as long as Mike Johnson is there, the House is not doing, mm-hmm, anything.